The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. Do you wonder what was going on the day before? Since it was important to say the next day, did any of you look like behind in your Bible while you were reading, while you were like, oh, I got that part. What's going on before? Anyone? No. One did. Okay. John was being quizzed, interrogated by the Pharisees. And he said, I'm not the Messiah, but I'm preparing the way. The next day, he got to make good on what he said. I wonder if somehow, see, John and Jesus, they were second cousins, you know, they probably knew each other growing up, but in the Bible reading today, it says that I didn't know him. They had to have known each other on some level. But on another level, I think that Jesus was this up-and-coming talker, preacher, revivalist, and John was the one who was out there, but the heat was getting a little hot for John even there. I think he knew that his time was about up. And when the Pharisees quizzed him, he was like, the one that you're looking for is coming later. And then John saw an opportunity the next day because Jesus came up and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John got to introduce Jesus for whatever reason it was in his mind at that moment. He got to introduce Jesus to all around. And you know, I like introductions. They go in my head, you know, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Blues Brothers. You know, I'm looking at Pete when I do that. You have an announcer that kind of does that, and it's kind of neat to have that. You ever like those announcements that come like at baseball games, you know, batting third, 127 average or whatever it is, but they say it with excitement. And John maybe got to do with excitement. Imagine introductions. There's a preacher in the United Church of Christ. Her name is Reverend Davida D. McAllister. Anybody heard of her? Davida, I don't have any of the confirmation kids. They're downstairs. Some of the confirmation kids experienced Davida McAllister's UCC introduction. See, the way she does it is she starts some loud, exuberant music playing like this. Recognize that music? Sort of makes you want to clap, dance a little bit. You know what that music is? You know, because we sang it. That's the song that we sang today. I wonder if there's anyone here today who feels like they could be someone who participated in this exciting thing called a UCC introduction. What you do have to do, you got to stand up, you got to be excited. The rest of the congregation is going to have to cheer wildly at some point, and you get to run around doing high fives. Anyone feel like doing that? Anybody want to run around doing high? You want to do it? Come on, Jack. All right. Jack, how long have you been coming here to Union Congregational Church? At least 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say so for 5 years. So we're going to announce that you have been here for 5 years. And Gene, you've been coming here at least that long. And Gene, you won the...
It's eight years.
Okay, 8 years. You won the croquet tournament a few years back.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And let's say that... And you three are ones who are willing to greet and willing to smile every time you come into church because this is an exciting time for you coming to church on Sunday morning, right?
Yeah.
If you didn't want to come to church, you probably wouldn't come to church, right? Does anyone ever say you have to come to church? You're like, no, I don't want to go.
You're excited
to be here. So we're going to introduce you. We're going to introduce you as three who have been here for 8 years. One of you who has won the croquet tournament.
Yeah.
And all three of you who get up every Sunday morning excited to come to church. And then I'm going to welcome all of you. Jack, what's your last name? I got to write that
Peterson.
Down.
Peterson.
Jack Peterson. Okay, I forgot that. Jack Peterson. Gene. Karen. Maybe I'll just use first names because there are three of you and that'll make it go. So Jack, Gene, and Karen. Okay, you ready for this now?
Yeah.
So the exciting music comes up. What you need to do is, can you go to the back there by the door? Go ahead, walk to the back by the door, all three of you. And then when I call your names, you get to kind of run in excited, and everyone in the congregation, I want you to cheer as loud as you can. You ready? So the exciting music starts. They are three who have been around at Union Congregational Church for 8+ years. One of them won the croquet tournament just 3 years ago.
Sunday morning, ready to come to church with a smile on their face and joy in their heart. Please welcome Jack, Gene, and Karen. Wildly as you come into the room. Now that's a UCC introduction. Congratulations and thank you for participating. You can go sit down now.
Okay.
And catch your breath. High fives all around. Excitement building. That's the way Reverend Davita McAllister does a UCC introduction. And this morning's Bible reading has a Jesus introduction. What would it be like if John was there with the crowds? He saw Jesus and he started getting the crowd all energized. Let's say he had a boombox or a piano with him, and the loud music started playing. And John was standing there and he said, "He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one who is ahead of me because he was before me. He had the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove." Please welcome the Son of God, Jesus! Woo! Yes, the crowd erupts with applause. And Jesus runs in and gives high fives, right? All right, I know I didn't exactly go that way with John and Jesus, but you know, it was a big deal when John introduced Jesus that day. John, who, like I said, was in some way a rival of Jesus as a preacher and a teacher. The Pharisees did think so. And I think that this little scenario, there's another scenario from Luke 7. John says this. Here's what happens. John wonders if Jesus is really the one. And we're not sure the timing exactly when it happens, but here's how it happens. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." Jesus has just done something amazing. The word is about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The disciples of John reported these things to him. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" The men had come to him. They said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?'" Jesus had just then cured many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and had given sight to many who were blind. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." John introduced Jesus on that day, but there's evidence that he wasn't quite sure at some point if Jesus really was the one. Did this happen before or after? I don't know. Sometimes we get doubts. He could have said, "Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," and then asked a little bit later, sending some disciples. At that point, John was in prison, so he had to send some disciples. So we're not sure when he knew, when he didn't know, and sometimes we have doubts about that. But I think that in today's reading, it's really evident that John was passing a torch. He was passing a torch from the one who is, you know, John, to the one who's going to continue God's work. He was stepping back from the spotlight and showing to everyone that Jesus is the one. John was introducing Jesus to everyone. This is the one. That can bring up a very scary question for us. The question is, what scares us about introducing Jesus to everyone around? We were talking in adults' Sunday school this morning about that question. And we thought, from one side, it was like if Jesus was at a dinner party with us, how we would introduce him. Or Jesus as the one, how we'd introduce him. And how that scares us, because we don't want to feel like we're knocking someone over the head with, you know, "Believe this, or it's going to come and it's going to be bad
for you. Let that one get stirred up in your mind just a little bit. How do we introduce Jesus to all around? How would we? What scares us about that? Okay, now there was another next day. Not the next day from before when John introduced Jesus for the first time, but the day after, 2 days later, John saw Jesus again. And it was much less dramatic this time, but still significant in the fashion he said it. John said, "Look, the Lamb of God." I don't think he was tired of it yet. If it was day 3, maybe John would be tired. "Look, the Lamb of God. Yeah, you see him." Okay. But the second day was still significant. And this time some of John's disciples left John and started following Jesus. One of them was named Andrew. Andrew told his brother about Jesus, and his brother came too. The brother was Simon. And Jesus gave him the nickname Peter or Petra. And what does it mean?
Rock.
Jesus really gave Simon, Andrew's, who was formerly a disciple of John. Andrew, formerly a disciple of John. So Andrew's brother, Simon, got the nickname from Jesus. But spread that out a little bit. Rocky, yeah. He got Rocky. All right, which one of the 6 Rocky movies are you thinking about now? Is it Rocky 1?
All I want to do is go the distance.
Or Rocky 2? Yo, Adrian, I did it! Or Rocky 3? I pity the fool! Right? Rocky 4?
I must break you. Go for it.
Or Rocky 5? Nobody should ever think about Rocky 5. Wipe it out of your memory. Rocky 6?
Yo, Paulie, I'm 60 and I want to fight again.
What? All right, stop thinking about the movies for a minute now. And let's talk about the disciples. Many of them had nicknames. We all know that Simon is Peter, or Rocky. Really, and Rocky is pretty accurate there. He's Rocky. James and John, they're called the Sons of Thunder. They're the ones who caused a little bit of trouble. They actually did. They had their mother come one time and say, can my sons be the most important ones? They were the troublemakers in many ways. Sons of Thunder. The other James the Less, that's Shorty. Bartholomew is also called Nathaniel. Maybe not a nickname. Matthew is also called Levi. Jude is also called Thaddeus. Thomas, the one who doubted, he's Didymus, or twin. There's twin. Philip had no other name, but maybe he was called Phil. Andrew had no nickname, but we could call him Rocky's brother, because he was. Simon the Zealot, the other Simon, he didn't have a nickname, but you know, Simon, he had some things going on about him. He was a member of an extremist political group, sort of in many ways like a terrorist organization. The Zealots were, I mean, they wouldn't think twice about blowing places up to get their point across. And then there's Judas, no nickname, but in the Gospel of John, he is not portrayed in a good light at all. In the other Gospels, it's not as bad, but John really doesn't like Judas, so we'll call him Shifty today, okay? So I wonder if Jesus ever introduced his disciples using their nicknames. Like he's got them gathered around and some people there and he's sort of like, "Hey everyone, I'd like you to meet my disciples here today. There's Rocky and there's brother over there. And those two over there fighting, those are the Sons of Thunder. And you might miss Shorty over there. And then there's Nathaniel, Levi, and Thaddeus, and Mr. Twin. And there's Phil. And of course that angry one over there, that's Simon the Zealot. And that shifty one, that's Judas." Maybe he did. Jesus did not have a southern accent, though. But since our president, George W. Bush, likes to use his southern accent, but he's got nicknames for all the reporters and stuff like that, that's where I was going with that. Anyone catch that? Or no? I don't think it ever happened that way, but not every disciple had a nickname, but there were still several that did, and several that Jesus gave the nicknames to. But that brings up another question then. If Jesus gave you a nickname, what would it be? Now let's go back to the first question. How do we? How would we? What scares us about introducing Jesus to all around? And what kind of nickname would Jesus give us if he had a nickname to give us? The subject matter is evangelism. Scary word. In the United Church of Christ, we actually have published a document called the E Word.
because people are so afraid of the word evangelism, because all of a sudden we think about altar calls and we think about, you know, revival meetings and everything like that, and 3,000 people joining the church, and oh no, we can't handle this. We don't want to offend anyone. Faith is a personal thing we say. I don't want to push my beliefs on others. I don't want to walk around with a Bible and hit someone over the head and say, you've got to believe this. But still the question remains, how to introduce Jesus to somebody next to us or to people all around? Because that's what we're called to do as the church, as believers. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So how do we do that without offending? How do we do that without pushing? Because we don't want to offend. We don't want to push. We don't want to be like those guys on the college campuses that say, tell everyone how horrible they are. We don't want to be that way. Here's how I think we can share Jesus with others without feeling like we're pushing or offending. Simply, we tell our story. When you tell a story that's about you to someone else, when you're sharing ideas, you're sharing dreams and stuff like that, no one can ever say, no, that's not true. Say, here's what I experienced. I fell down and I hurt my knee and it hurt. You know, I skinned my knee and it hurt. They can't say, no, it didn't hurt. Yes, it did hurt because I felt it on my knee. There's this church I go to, and in that I have found love and fellowship and family. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. People can't say that. They can just say, wow, I have an experience with Jesus, and I know that he's not like this physical person next to me, but Jesus talked about love, and I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I really like knowing that this one who saved me is always with me. Maybe that's your story. And it's a story that's about you telling to somebody else. But when you're telling your story, instead of making something up that you heard in church, or making something up that you think is, this is the way the church says it should be, when you're sharing your story, you gotta tell honestly about your thoughts, about your doubts, about your fears. Because I think that people, especially your friends, can see right through you when you're faking it. I think you should tell authentically what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to follow God, what it means to experience love that is unconditional. But it also means not candy coating everything that you say. How do we introduce to Jesus all around? We tell our story. This is my experience. This is how I've experienced Jesus' love in my life. If we try to break it down to, you got to say these five things, it's not going to be the same sentence for each one of us, and it's going to come off as phony, I think. So we tell our story. And God is good at using what we say and using what we do authentically to get God's work done. God is really good at that. Tell our story. And now back to the second question. If Jesus gave you a nickname, what would it be? Would it be grumpy? Or sleepy? Or bashful? Another one of the seven dwarfs' nicknames? Or maybe something else? I came up with some good ones that I thought might be cool if Jesus was going more creative or stuff like that. I mean, he did call one of them Rocky. Or I guess now since we've got an actor who was a wrestler, in many ways, I guess Peter could be The Rock, too. But I like Rocky better, because there aren't as many The Rock movies, right? How about Hammer? Nickname, Hammer. Hard worker. Or Pages, someone who tells great stories. Or Motivo, someone who's great at inspiring others. Or Benevola, what would that be?
Thank you. Support.
There you go. Someone who's very generous financially, benevolent, like benevolence. Ardora. Anyone?
Adorable.
Adorable, yes. Ardora. Ardor is like love. Someone who lives unconditional love. Maybe it wouldn't be names like that. Maybe you can think of other names that Jesus could give you, and I wonder, what nickname would Jesus give you? This is something to think about through the week. And
Well, maybe throughout the week when you make a mistake, oh, I don't want that nickname, you know. I don't want to be known by that. Oh, I better do something different. God doesn't love you any less when you make mistakes. God doesn't say, oh, you're out of the club when you do stuff wrong. But it'd be nice to have a cool nickname, you know. A nickname like Preacher. Anyone can have that one, right? Carer. Maybe you'd get a nickname that is really similar to someone who was confused, to someone who was rough, to someone who seemed destined for failure, but a person whom Jesus loved and whom Jesus trusted. And he said that person, even before he knew him, on this rock I will build my church. Maybe you could have a nickname that's really similar to that one. What is it? You can say it loud. Rocky, say it really loud so I can hear it. One, two, three.
Rocky!
Let's pray. God, thank you for your word and thank you for your inspiration. We ask, God, that as we go out throughout our lives, that we wouldn't be afraid to share our story of faith, our story of love, our story of walking with you, our story of doubt, our story of confusion, our story of that unconditional love. Help us to continue to share that. Help us to live out our lives with nicknames that we would like for you to give us. In Jesus' name, amen.